This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey from Surah Yunus to Surah Hud to today's Surah, Surah Yusuf, whereby inside Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We narrate these stories to you, upon you, to make firm your heart. That inside stories of Qasasul Anbiya, stories of the prophets, is primarily a lesson for the previous prophets, or those prophets that came after them. Tatra, after every prophet, other prophets that they came. So each prophet looks at the previous prophet, at their commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in conclusion of all the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds or gives this conclusion to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ. Every so often we narrate upon you these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. To strengthen your heart, strengthen your belief. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِي الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِي الْحَقُّ. In this there has come the truth. As you mentioned, ulama tafaseer, they mentioned that inside Amma fi Surah Hud itself, in these stories, this build up towards this final story or this ultimate story, or inside the Quran itself, there's dhikra, there's remembrance, there's maw'idha, admonition for people to pay heed towards that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the total story, the full complete story mentioned inside the Quran. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ. When kunta min qablihi la min al-ghafilin. Indeed, we narrate to you the best of stories. This Quran narrates. And prior to these stories, when kunta min qablihi la min al-ghafilin, you're unaware. Because there's many stories inside the Quran or stories of the past that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never knew about them. Lianna kana ummiyan. He was illiterate. He never used to read or had the ability to read the scriptures of the past scriptures to know about these stories. He may have heard about these stories, min ajdadihi, from his forefathers, from his grandfathers, may have narrated certain elements. But as for the complete essence of these stories, no one knew these stories. He never knew these stories. So this in itself, as ulama mentioned, is a proof in itself, showing that revelation being given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because every so often they would ask him certain questions. They asked him about Dhul Qarnayn. They asked him about Ashab al-Kahf. They asked him about the companions of the grave, or companions of the cave, sorry. They asked him about Dhul Qarnayn. They asked him certain questions. And then revelation came to affirm, to tell him, this is the story of the people that came previously. This in itself stands mu'jiza lil Qur'an. Stands as a miracle for the Qur'an. And thus this Qur'an is ahsanul qasas. The best of stories we're going to narrate to you. And there's so many themes inside this surah, that chapters on end can be written about the different themes of temptation, of love, of envy, of jealousy, the evil eye, of commitment, of devotion, of tawheed. So many different topics can be extracted from these 111 verses. There's primarily a Meccan surah, the 12th surah of the Quran, which strangely places are the 12 juz of the Quran and spills over into the 13th juz. This surah contains 12 brothers. This surah contains 12 parts. And that's why you find that when some ulama begin to discuss this, it's not just a mystical approach as some may think. There is an essence towards why certain things Allah subhanahu mentions them inside the Quran. Fahima man fahimahu. Whoever understands it, understands it. Whoever doesn't understand it, will never understand it. Because Allah subhanahu gives understanding the book of Allah subhanahu whoever He wants. And the greatest skill and ability the person can have is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's trying to understand the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is Allah subhanahu delivering to us? And this Meccan surah, 111 verses, revealing Amul Huzn, and some ulama said Amul Huzn is close to the 12th year of Hijri, because after the Prophet made the exodus migration towards Medina, 13 years inside Mecca. So the final stages, the 12th year, is a plausible discussion by some ulama tafaseer. So all of it is 12 in nature. Amul Huzn, that's what ulama said, that year of grief whereby he lost his wife Khadija, where Abu Talib, his uncle, passed away as well. So as a human being, he felt that feeling of loss. And numerous ulama tafaseer, they speak that when a person is upset or they're worried or they're lost, because we're human beings, we have that feeling. They say, read Surah Yusuf. Read this surah, read these 111 verses to see what happened, existed before. Read what happened to this individual, what he went through his life. And take extraction of lessons. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ إِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. They take ibrah. Ibrah means take lessons. Ibrah isn't just to read something, as many of us that we do. There's deep hikam, wisdom, inside the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find that al-fiqh fi deen. There's a tertiary reading of fiqh, of halal and haram, rights and wrongs. Many people can develop that inside their life. Because it's academia. It's rhetoric. Anybody can study certain things and regurgitate them inside their life. But what is fiqh fi deen? As the Prophet said to the companion, said to him, Ibn Abbas, Allahumma faqih fi deen wa'allimu at-ta'wil. Ta'wil huna bima'na tafsir. Said to Abbas, give him the understanding of the deen and give him understanding ta'wil. Ta'wil, as Imam Tabari called all of his tafsir, ta'wil al-Quran. It's tafsir al-Quran, to be able to understand the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's ibra. That's when a person takes ibra from the Quran. Various stages we mentioned previously in Surah Al-Insan, stages of the Quran, and just reciting the Quran, memorizing the Quran, and then to preserve and to understand and implement the Quran. This is what many of us are lacking inside our lives. Yes, many of us are struggling in reading the Quran. Everybody can struggle in that. But the real message of the Quran is the implementation of the Quran. We shouldn't be lacking in that. We shouldn't be lacking that inside our lives. We should be searching for that to find the truth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ لَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. And not to turn to other sources. The ultimate source is the Quran. That's what Umar al-Khattab was holding, a copy of what could be a transcript of the Injil or the Torah. The Prophet ﷺ rebuked him. He said, why are you reading these texts, these books for? That could even apply today, that we don't need to read other texts and other sources at times until you're rasikh fil ilm, you're deep in your understanding. Not everybody wants to be debating with this Christian, with this Jew, with this person, that person, that person. وما تعرف عن دينك شيء. You don't know anything about your own deen. How many people come back with shubuhat, doubts? He said this, they said that, they quoted this, they quoted that. But you 6 months studying Islam, now you want to go out there and you want to preach to the world. You want to change the world. What do you understand of your own deen? About your own Quran? About your own relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what a person is going to be asked about inside their lives. When a person reaches a certain level, then there's no haraj in that. But to believe that's the prime goal throughout your life. The Prophet ﷺ rebuked him. Why are you reading these verses for? Because you find inside the Quran, Ahsan al-Hadith is the best of speech, the best of stories, the best of narration. Those things that don't concern us have been taken out, wiped out. Everything inside the Quran is accurate. It doesn't go into the finer details that some people try to search for. It gives the gist of the story, highlights what lessons are inside the story, and what lessons we can extract. That's what this surah is focusing upon. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in that feeling of being upset as a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to strengthen his iman, sends down these 111 ayat. And there's only one other surah inside the Quran which has 111 ayat. The Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel. The 18th chapter of the Quran, if I'm not mistaken. Why do we mention 111 verses of Surah Yusuf and 111 verses Surah Bani Israel? Only two surahs inside the Quran. Once again, ulama, they decipher the sir. Because the beginning of Prophet, or the beginning of Misr that we find, begins with what? With Yusuf alayhi salam. 111 verses. The beginning of Bani Israel. The end of Bani Israel, the whole surah is called Bani Israel, Surah Al-Isra. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. The end of Bani Israel is inside Surah Al-Isra. 111 verses. That's the end of them. And as I read these surahs to understand, even when people speak about world politics or the world was taking place, many ulama have deciphered from Surah Al-Isra, the answer is inside there. The answer is inside the Quran about what's taking place even in the world at the moment. But because many of us don't engage with the Quran, we can't seem to see the pattern or the message of the Quran, what the Quran is telling us to carry out inside our lives. So we find that this surah, reciting this surah, some weak narration mentions teach your family members to recite Surah Yusuf, that we find it was Hawwan alayhi sakaratul maut, that the pangs of death are, are taken away from that individual, and no jealousy will be developed for that individual inside their lives. These are some of the weak narrations that some ulama tafsir have collected about speaking about Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. But as we mentioned, the most that we can say about Surah Yusuf is to recite this surah, ponder over this surah, reflect over this surah. That which has been authenticated about Umar ibn Khattab, he used to recite this surah. He used to lead the people in Salatul Fajr, qira'atan bati'atan. He used to read it with a slow recital. A slow recital. And that's why you find that at certain places that you find he would come to certain verses and he would weep. He would weep. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I complain my sorrow, my grief only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُنَّا نَسْمَى بُكَى عُمَرْ مِنْ خَلْفِ We used to hear the weeping of Umar right from the back. You know, Umar, read his personality, strong individual. Shaitan would even cross the road away from Umar al-Khattab. But look at the Quran. How it would melt these individuals. Make these individuals soft towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ إِنَّنِي أَنَّ اللَّهُ Until the verse 14 inside Surah Taha, which penetrated Umar al-Khattab. إِنَّنِي أَنَّ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَعَقِّمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي Establish a prayer for my remembrance. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَان Umar al-Khattab, his life's taken when? كَانَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ Ayat of Salah penetrated his mind, his heart to enter to Islam, and he left this dunya via inside Salah, being lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of Salah, in a state of devotion, in a state of calling to Allah. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ I complain of my grief and my sorrow only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find, it's not plausible to go through all of the verses, but as we mentioned, just to pluck certain verses that we can relate to on a daily basis. Sometimes because we speak about tafsir as an ancient past, we should speak about it also what concerns us, because inside this surah there's numerous lessons of temptations, of love, of jealousy, of hope, of fear, of belief, of conviction that concerns every single Muslim. That's why the Quran is a book for everyone. Quran isn't a book for scholarly people or certain individuals or certain personalities. Mu'dhamul Quran is sahl, most of the Quran. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ Inside Surah Al-Qamar, four times Allah mentions, we made the Quran easy, simple. Simple to read, simple to understand, simple to implement. Only a few ayat. Out of 6,300 odd ayat, you find some maybe 600 ayat speak about ahkam. Some ayat speak about mirath, about inheritance, about talaq, about tijara. قَدْ يَسْرَبُ عَلَى بَعْدُ النَّاسِ Could be difficult for some of us, many of us, to understand these ayat. But مُعْظَمُ الْقُرْآنِ The rest of the Quran is simple. There's a simple flow, a simple understanding. Whoever wants to pay heed to the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Quran here begins with mentioning that we send down the Quran in the Arabic language. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of understanding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Arabic language. That's the key. That's why all this around the world. You destroy people via their belief and via their language. We only had one language amongst ourselves in the world. We had different languages that we may use amongst ourselves, but the essence of our language, our medium of instruction, our medium of speech, was al-lughatul arabiyyah. That's it, simple. You can't understand Islam if you don't know the Arabic language, simple. Sorry to sound so harsh, it's a reality. It's just a basic, tertiary, a fourthly reading you're going to do. If you don't strive to understand the language, you're far away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not where you're judging how far you are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a different topic. Because many people could be very much more close than we'll ever perceive to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of perception and understanding, many of us are far away. Because we don't make that effort to understand. Allah said right in the beginning of Surah Yusuf, that we sent down this Quran in the Arabic language. There's no other way to decipher the Quran except for via the Arabic language. And then he mentions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ We're going to narrate to you the best of stories. Allah نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ Another place in the Quran, Allah said, he sent down the best speech. The best speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the best speech, the most authentic speech, the accurate speech. You don't need fables, myths, ancient tales, fables, stories, made up beliefs. We don't need that. You just need the Quran. Read the Quran, ponder over the Quran, the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Al-Quran huwa kafin an kulli ma sawa'u min al-kutub. The Quran stands over all other previous scriptures. Wa muhaiminan alay. As Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the Quran stands muhaiminan over all the previous scriptures. Anything good inside the previous scriptures has been extracted and placed inside the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final revelation that we find. Yusuf alayhi salam. إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبتي إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر. يوسف عليه السلام narrates to his father, "Oh my beloved father, I've seen 11 stars, the sun and the moon, prostrating to me." So he's disclosing to his father. Ibn Kathir begins to have this discussion about some of the ulama begin to speak about the names of the stars, and as we mentioned, that this ilm Allah doesn't speak about it. By the names of the stars, the name of the dog inside Ashab al-Kahf, the name of the woman, the name of this person, as we mentioned, is look at the gist of the story. What benefits the individual? What concerns the individual? What we can extract from this story? That's why you find Yusuf alayhi salam is Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. He's the son of Ya'qub. Ya'qub is the son of Ishaq. Ishaq is the son of Ibrahim. All close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a khalil. Then from him you find Ishaq and Ismail, Ya'qub. And then from there you find Yusuf. From Yusuf then you find most of the ulama go to review that the rest of his brothers became prophets in their own right as well, after they turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here Ya'qub alayhi salam is the first lesson what he sees was going to take place inside amongst his brothers and himself. قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيد لك كيدا. Yaqub picks up, deciphers certain things. As we began with, that's what ilm is, fiqh fi deen. To be able to decipher certain things, to see certain things. Everything isn't black and white as many of us see certain things. He sees an element of something that exists there. So he says in confidence to his son, يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. Don't narrate this dream. وَرُؤْيَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَحْيٌ. Dreams of prophets are revelation. Whenever a prophet sees something, that is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he advised him, don't narrate this dream to your brothers, because your brothers, unfortunately, even though they're his half-brothers, his step-brothers, فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا. The first here topic of what? Al-hasad. Jealousy. أَوَّلْ جَرِيمَ فِي السَّمَاءِ كَانَ الْكِبْرِ. First sin in heaven was arrogance. First sin upon the earth wasn't qatl, wasn't murder. What led to the murder was al-hasad, was jealousy. These two traits still live amongst us today. Al-kibr wal-hasad. They still live amongst us. Arrogance is thrive amongst us, even among so-called practicing Muslims. There's arrogance to another dimension. Arrogant. And inside the story, it teaches, look at Yusuf alayhi salam, how he humbled himself. Even when it comes to prison, we're going to touch about how he humbled himself. Unlike many of us that we think that we know what the truth is. So me knowing the truth gives me the right to be arrogant to other people. Gives me the right to be arrogant because I know what the truth is. That's not the Quran. That's not the message of the Quran. That's not the message of the Anbiya that we find. Ista'inu ala qada'i al-hawa'ij. Seek aid and assistance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carrying out what you want to carry, بِكِتْمَانِهَا, by concealing what you want to do. لِأَنَّ كُلِّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. Because every person who has a ni'mah, there's someone who's jealous of that ni'mah. Whatever that ni'mah may be, wealth, property, good health, strength, knowledge, intellect, position, whatever it may be. And ulama here, based upon this, أَنَّ الْحَسَدْ لَا يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعِيدٍ. Hasad doesn't always come from far away. يَأْتِ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ مِمَّا تَتَصَوَّرُ. Hasad comes from close by where you cannot even imagine. That's the extraction that ulama have made. To conceal your blessings from those individuals, especially today, in today's world, there's people who are suffering. Even the way that you eat, that you drink, that what you do, a person should be vigilant. And the modern world that we find that people are posting whatever they're doing inside their life, showing it off to other people. Do you really think people really mean those likes or thumbs up or those hearts or happy faces? Do you really think that deep down inside your heart? Do you really think that? Those people are viewing you, that viewership, that they're really thinking, they're happy for you. And I hate to use such words, but the stupidity of many of us Muslims, that's all that our life is clicks of a button, is pictures of images. That's what most of us, our life is. There's a good use for technology, but that's what many of us, all life is about. Facebook, Instagram, whatever it may be, TikTok, this, that, and that's all life is about. Is that all your perception of life? That's all that you dream about in your life, that how many likes and dislikes, or how people will see me, how they image me, what I'm dressing, what I'm wearing, what I'm eating, what I'm doing inside my life. And then you come in and you complain that I don't have real peace and tranquility inside my life. Because there's not a few, there's many out there who feel that jealousy towards you. And then you find that these brothers, as we know that story, it continues, that they wanted to do, what did they decide to do? They decided to take Yusuf away from their father. He was worried about him. And we know the main thrust of the story, but what we want to extract here, they said, when we do this action, this is what concerns many of us Muslims today. وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ After we've done this action, we're going to become righteous people. How many Muslims, nafsul mantiq, the same logic, many of us Muslims, we know the Quran. I don't need to preach to you what the Quran says. Because the Quran speaks our logic, the Quran speaks our mind, the Quran speaks our feelings. Many Muslims say, this is what they say. You know, when later on in my life, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِي قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ Later in my life, I'll become a righteous person. When I've performed Hajj, when I'm tired, when I'm over 40, when I come to an age like you, got nothing to do in my life, I've lived all my life. Nafsul mantiq. Same logic that they use. They're young men. We're going to do this, either we're going to kill him, but one of them said, no, don't kill him, throw him inside the well. And then afterwards we'll repent. Then we become righteous individuals, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبَّأَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ Allah gave this wahi to Yusuf alayhi salam deep down inside that well. That you're going to inform them about what took place, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ They can never ever perceive it, because some ulama said some 40 years later, that they join up once again. So that's why they couldn't recognize Yusuf alayhi salam anymore, because he changed. His whole depiction had changed. But Allah gave this promise right at the beginning that you're going to inform them what took place of them placing you inside this well. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned about Musa alayhi salam to his mother, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّ رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ Allah said to the mother of Musa alayhi salam, gave her revelation as well. Not a revelation of wahi in that sense, but a form of revelation. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي Don't fear, don't grieve. She's just thrown Musa, what we call the Moses basket, it's still the same name that we use, placed him inside the basket and let him go in the river. Revelation is given to her, or is announced to her, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي Don't fear, don't grieve. مَعْقُول, طيب, acceptable. Don't fear, don't grieve. Then Allah says, إِنَّ رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ Allah says, we're going to return him back to you. How is Musa now going to come back to me? How is that going to happen? But Allah said it, so somewhere in that journey, Musa is going to come back to her. Because that's the promise. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ Because the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you're going to enter into Masjid Haram amineen. And it's that a piece of conquering. They hadn't conquered Makkah yet. But Allah gave that promise. And it's like the same surah Allah mentioned, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah will establish His command. He will establish it. But most people don't have knowledge or understanding regarding this. Then comes the second most important theme inside this surah is As-Sabr. When his son Yusuf is taken away from Ya'qub, then his other sons are taken first time, twice, or actually three times, it speaks about a concept of sabr inside this surah. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ So first time Yusuf alayhi salam is taken away from him, he complains only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ صَبْرٌ بِلَا شَكْوَى Sabr without any complaint. No hesitation, not saying to anybody, times are good, alhamdulillah, but you know, akhi, but this, but this, but that. No, a sabr biduni shakwa. That's what Ya'qub alayhi salam, he followed that path. Fasabrun jameel, asallahu an yatiyani bihim jami'an. Second time he said, when Binyamin is taken away, he said once again, fasabrun jameel, asallahu, perhaps, it doesn't mean perhaps, asallahu doesn't mean inside the Quran, asa, means perhaps, it means haqqan, laziman. Indeed, Allah will return them all back to me. All of my sons will return back to me. And the third place of sabr, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ. Whoever fears Allah, وَيَصْبِرْ, and is patient about that, Allah never lets your actions go to waste. What's the context of these ayat about the highest level of patience? Also another element of patience that mentions a hidden message. That he, فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, he controlled himself. That's a deep level of patience. What's the context of controlling himself? That's the third or the fourth lesson that we can extract from this surah. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ لَهُ حَيْتَ لَكَ. She closed the doors. She didn't just close the doors. سِيغَةُ الْمُبَالَغَةِ بِشْتَشْدِيدِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She closed every single door. Every single point of entry, she closed it. وَقَالَتْ حَيْتَ لَكَ تَعَالْ هَلُمَّ إِلَيَّ. She said to him, come, seduced him. مَا فِي أَحَد. No one is there. تَصَوَّرُوا. Depict the image that's there. Ulama Tafasid mentioned that this woman, some go to view whether her name was Zulaykha, whatever her name was, she was a woman of jamal, of beauty, a woman of riyasa, in power, wealth, property, power, dignity. And she beautified herself. And Yusuf alayhi salam was no less in jamal, because we find kana indo nisful jamal or shatrul jamal. Half of beauty, or most of beauty, was given to who? To Yusuf alayhi salam. So imagine him here, he's prime of his age, a young individual, there with this young woman as well. Because as they say that her husband was impotent, the Aziz was impotent. So she developed this shahwa, this desire towards Yusuf alayhi salam. وَقَالَتْ حَيْتَلَكْ وَلَقَدْ حَمَّ بِهَا وَهَمَّ بِهِ. He had some inclination towards it. Ulama described that he had the natural inclination of a human being. Not the hum, that the ultimate hum that people may carry out of zina inside their lives. He did, that flicker came into his mind to show his human nature. Tasawwur, think about that. Inside that environment, what would happen to many of us? Or many human beings? What would happen to many of us? That's what it highlights inside the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't sit with strange women. Don't be in a strange environment with non-mahrim women. Don't place yourself inside that situation and then later on complain about it. And even some of the ulama tafsir said that when he saw the burhan, when he saw the evidence, he saw on the wall, inscripted on the wall, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. When كَانَ هَذَا قَوْلْ فِي كُتُبُ التَّفَاسِيرِ. There may not be no authenticity towards it, but what we can extract, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't come close to zina, that he saw those verses there. Or he heard the voice of his father, Ya'qub, reminding him, or an angel reminding him, whatever it may be, but he felt that feeling of iman, that, right, I'm here in this situation. What should I, this is what iman, this is what taqwa is. Taqwa isn't in a gathering. That's not real taqwa. Taqwa لَمَّ تَكُونْ وَحِيدًا بِنَفْسِكَ. Taqwa is when you're all on your own, all on your own. That's what real taqwa is. When you override your nafs. You override your nafs, you control your nafs to weaken it. To weaken the nafs, because inside this surah, I mentioned the beginning of 13th Juz, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. This soul, it calls towards desires. If it's placed in that environment, it will go towards desires. Any one of us. You're placed in that environment, you would go towards those desires. It would call towards those desires. So don't place yourself inside a station of desires. So this woman, she tried to seduce him. And look at the reward. سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ فِي ذِلِّي لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. Seven types of individual who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby there's no shade. Is a young person who's seduced or who's tempted to carry out something haram. And says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ فِي Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retracts themselves, whether it be male or female. Because inside this surah, it's highlighted that the woman equally has a desire like the man. Because it says inside it, قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا. The love blinds, it penetrated so deep into the inner realms of her heart. Is how ulama have described this love that she had. And then when the women began to gossip and speak, and then she called all of them, gave them the fruits, and gave them the knives to slit the fruits after eating and drinking. And then she said to Yusuf, come out now. Yusuf, he came out. What did they say? This is not a human being. مَا هَذَا بَشَرَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. This isn't a human being. This is an angel. وَقَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. What did they do? While slicing their fruit, look at the amount of devotion and commitment. They didn't stop there. Many ulama say they physically, it's not a depiction. They say it's physically as slicing the fruit. The knife slit their wrists, or it slit their hands, the palms of their hands. That's what they saw. This Noor, this pure individual. You know what this woman says? She said that you just had one glance. One glance, you're at Yusuf, and look what you've done. And I've been spending so many years with this individual. And you're trying to blame me for what I tried to do? قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا. Love had engrossed her so much into her heart and her mind. And then we find the story continues that then he's placed inside prison. He says, oh my Lord, prison is better for me than what these people are calling me towards. And when he entered into prison, وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ, oh, he entered the prison. And the two companions entered into the prison. And they say to him, إِنَّ نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We see you amongst the doers of good. Five times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions muhsineen, the doers of good. Why is Yusuf alayhi salam studied these 5 points? Why is he called a person doing the good? When he enters into prison, فَدَخَلَ السِّجْنَ مَعُ فَتَيَانَ. Two young people entered into prison. And they began to narrate what's taking place. One of them is going to be pouring wine. The other one's going to be the birds eating from his head. And they said to him, give us the interpretation of these dreams. Because there's another science inside this surah. It's all about dreams. إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We see you amongst the doers of good. How did he recognize Yusuf alayhi salam as being the doers of good? Because when Yusuf alayhi salam, one interpretation, when they saw him, they recognized his face, because criminals know criminals. You could tell a criminal from their face, from their words, from their conduct, from their behavior. So Yusuf alayhi salam, when he walked into prison, they knew this isn't a prison. This isn't a criminal. This is a person that injustice has been done to him, is one interpretation. The second interpretation, which seems to be even more plausible, is that when he entered the prison, he lived just like them. He cleaned the floor, washed, done the chores, done whatever he had to do. So as they visualized him, they said, إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You're a doer of good. Give us the interpretation of these dreams that we're seeing inside our lives. And there we find the pinnacle lesson of Surah Yusuf is a lesson of Tawheed that we find calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the pinnacle lesson. And many ulama highlight the extraction that as we began with the ibrah, we can't seem to see certain things. Because for us it's just black and white. That's it's Tawheed or no Tawheed. That's it. Person, dalun, jahilun, going into hellfire, khalas. Yusuf alayhi salam entered into prison. He never spoke about anything initially. When they asked him, then he reminded them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he told them. And even then, because it mentions, they were his sahib. Sahib means close comrades, friends. He never disassociated himself from them. He lived with them. He mingled with them. He talked to them. He was with them. He gave them their advice. He never went away from them and said, right, you don't know about Tawheed now. Now we need to leave you, walk away from you, abandon you, because you don't know what Tawheed is. He remained there. He remained in their suhbah and their companionship, and he preached them and he taught them and he persevered with them. That's what real Tawheed is. And he never lost faith. That one calamity after another calamity, he didn't walk in and think, right, now I need to give up. Now I'm inside prison. Look what's happening to me inside my life. He remains focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highlighting to them what is the right belief and conviction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After, I'm sure many of us are familiar, whereby the rest of the brethren of Yusuf alayhi salam, they returned back to get their full due because of the drought and whatever is going to take place at a later stage. And now once again, Ya'qub alayhi salam, we find a lesson as mentioned is the concept of al-ayn, the evil eye. Because we mentioned that many or some Muslims don't want to believe in the supernatural, the hidden world away from many of us Muslims that we don't see. As we began with the concept of jealousy, the concept of the evil eye, or the eye of not wanting good for another individual inside their lives that many of us are afflicted by. That you find that the way of protecting oneself is to make the daily adhkar in the morning, in the evening, to read Surah Al-Baqarah, make the adhkar, read Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, do these adhkar to protect oneself inside their lives. And here Ya'qub alayhi salam is bluntly saying to his children, in a certain way, saying to them, وَقَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُ مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ. He's saying, oh my sons, don't enter into their palace, into the arena via one door. وَادْخُلُ مِنْ بَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقًا. Enter via different doors. And ulama tafsir mentioned, just like Yusuf alayhi salam was beautiful, because going back to Ya'qub, also the rest of his 11 brothers had beauty as well. Strong men. Powerful men. Imagine we're all walking in at the same time. So Ya'qub is giving them this message. Don't walk in together. Don't entourage together. Because this is going to affect you. All of you individuals. And then once again we find that when Benjamin is taken away, that he then complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And makes an ultimate complaint of إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Prior to that, وَبْيَبْدَتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He wept so much. Ya'qub wept so much losing his sons that his eyes became blinded. وَبْيَبْدَتْ became white. He became blinded and lost. فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ, and suppressing himself for what he's gone through inside his life. Then he said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. All his hardship and difficulty, only complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. When all this happens and they return back, his brothers come back, he tells you his father and his mother to come there. قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Where are we from this sunnah inside our life? Where are we from forgiving people, pardoning people? That's why we find the similarities between Surah Yusuf and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam are openly clear, as majority of the ulama say, that the real message of this surah is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Because when he entered into Makkah, he was victorious and he conquered. He entered into Makkah and he said, they asked him, what are you going to do with us? We fought against you. We harmed your companions. We killed your companions. We boycotted you. We done all these things to you. What did he say? You know, many of us, you know, as we began with the traits that we have, it will be arrogance. You know, that day you done this to me, today I'm going to do this to you. And even some Muslims, they make such comments. You know, in Jahiliyyah, no one messed about with me in my life. Dare you mess about me one now I'm a Muslim. This is not Islam. This is not Islam, that people fighting over one another because you don't agree with one another, harming another individual, molesting another individual, being malicious to another Muslim. You don't agree with them. They don't agree with you. Being physical with another Muslim. What kind of deen is that? What kind of Islam is that? That you don't agree with someone, that you need to show your physical strength, because in Jahiliyyah no one messed about with me. Now I'm a Muslim, no one should mess about me, no one should speak to me in that tone. The Prophet said, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِينَ. Finish. انتهى الموضوع. Call Abu Sufyan and said, right, you be in charge. It's not about being in charge, who's in authority, who's this, who's that. Because in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that you humble yourself, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're raised. Whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will raise them inside this dunya. Allah will raise them inside this dunya. You humble yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will raise you. Will give you izzah, give you glory. That's what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam, that they couldn't believe it. When they said to Yusuf alayhi salam, "Anta Yusuf," they couldn't recognize. They said, are you Yusuf? Are you this Yusuf that what we tried to do to you? Now look at him. He's inside the most ultimate position inside society. And that mockery that we find that exists inside the society is what people say. Oh, how is so-and-so there? How is so-and-so got so much money? How is so-and-so doing this? How is so-and-so doing that? What's the essence? Al-hasad. Jealousy. Al-ayn. So these are just some of the lessons that we can extract. We can go back and read this surah. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتِي مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Ulama said, it's the first time dua was made of such a nature by a prophet. He said, make me die upon a state of Islam, just to give me this ni'mah inside this dunya, continue these blessings. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ, with my brethren, bring me back. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Maybe come back with the righteous individuals. That's why Ibn Kathir narrates so many different narrations speaking about asking for a good death, asking for istiqamah, steadfastness. Don't ask for hasty death. Don't give up. That's what he highlights. Don't give up. Don't fret. Don't despair. Because when you make that dua, Allah, give me death, then maybe there could be many years of goodness that Allah could be giving you that have been taken away from you. And then finally, that we find, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصٍ عِبْرَةٌ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصٍ عِبْرَةٌ. Inside these stories is a lesson. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. These are not made up fables and stories. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي. But this is to establish you, to affirm you with that which is in front of you and behind you. وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Explanation, everything. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And guidance and mercy for the believing individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to engage or to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via all these different surahs inside the Quran, the surahs speaking about the prophets, the surahs speaking about Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. We go back and read and study these 111 ayat inside our lives, what extractions that we can make. Inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq and ability to meet for the next time to speak about Surah Ibrahim alayhi salam, the 14th chapter of the Quran.